is requesting dua for shifa and dua for maghfirah for people you've lost, you can send them to 208-2426 on the area code 031. That's our fax number. Or you can phone through with them on 031-208-4564. Remember that you can only send those messages through until 5:30 p.m., at which point our lines will close. We will not take any more messages after that, inshallah. Our format for today, as usual, we start with the qira'ah, and then at 5 minutes past 5, we'll be crossing over to the United Arab Emirates, where we'll be joined by Brother Ahmed Bukhatir, who is the Nasheed singer whom you've been very, very impressed with over the duration of this Ramadan broadcast. But right now, without much further ado, we're crossing directly once again to Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. And subhanAllah, how Allah has blessed that area with talent by way of Quranic recitation. This time, we're going to talk to Sheikh Sahel Yasin, who some of you might be familiar with via internet recitations. Sheikh Sahel Yasin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing just great, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, we hope to chat to you a little bit before you actually go off for iftar. But before that, of utmost importance, of course, we want to listen to your qira'ah, inshallah. So please begin.
Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم وقد خاب من حمل ظلما ومن يعمل من الصالحات وهو مؤمن فلا يخاف ظلما ولا هضما وكذلك أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا وصرفنا فيه من الوعيد لعلهم يتقون أو يحدث لهم ذكرا فتعالى الله الملك الحق ولا تعجل بالقرآن من قبل أن يقضى إليك وحيه وقل رب زدني علما ولقد عهدنا إلى آدم من قبل فنسي ولم نجد له عزما وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى فقلنا يا آدم إن هذا عدو لك ولزوجك فلا يخرجنكما من الجنة فتشقى إن لك ألا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى وأنك لا تظمأ فيها ولا تضحى فوسوس إليه الشيطان قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى فأكلا منها فبدت لهما سوآتهما وطفقا يخصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة وعصى آدم ربه فغوى ثم اجتباه ربه فتاب عليه وهدى قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى وكذلك نجزي من أسرف ولم يؤمن بآيات ربه ولعذاب الآخرة أشد وأبقى أفلم يهد لهم كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون يمشون في مساكنهم إن في ذلك لآيات لأولي النهى ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك لكان لزاما وأجل مسمى فاصبر على ما يقولون وسبح بحمد ربك قبل طلوع الشمس وقبل غروبها ومن آناء الليل فسبح وأطراف النهار لعلك ترضى ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى وقالوا لولا يأتينا بآية من ربه أولم تأتهم بينة ما في الصحف الأولى ولو أنا أهلكناهم بعذاب من قبله لقالوا ربنا لولا أرسلت إلينا رسولا فنتبع آياتك من قبل أن نذل ونخزى قل كل متربص فتربصوا فستعلمون من أصحاب الصراط السوي ومن اهتدى صدق الله العظيم
شيخ سهل
No.
Jazakallah khairan for that recitation. I know we were going to ask you to make a dua, but we think we're going to ask you some questions instead because somebody else will make a dua at the end of our program about an hour from now. So if you'd allow us, sure. May we ask you some questions, inshallah?
Yeah, go ahead.
Firstly, where did you learn to speak English?
I had to stay some time in the States. I had my master's degree from the United States. That's why I speak some English.
Okay. What were you studying in the United States?
Well, I had my bachelor's degree in Saudi Arabia in the Islamic studies.
MashaAllah.
But then I had the master's degree in the educational administration since I work in the educational field.
Okay. And tell me, when did you become a Hafiz? At what age?
That was when I was 15 years old.
How long did it?
When I was in the high school.
Okay, and how long did it actually take you to memorize the Quran?
It took me 9 months, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Did you do it as part of your schooling or was it separate from your schooling?
No, it was separate, actually. I had to go another way
from my house in the evening time to the mosque that where I was memorizing.
So how did you manage to memorize the Quran in 9 months whilst you were schooling at the same time?
Well, it was the niyyah and the enthusiasm and the temptation that I had. All those things pushed me and motivated me to memorize. By the time, I didn't have that much of difficulty in my study in school, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And who actually was your teacher of Quran? Who did you memorize the Quran under?
The first person had favor above me regarding memorizing me memorizing the Quran was Sheikh Abdullah Basfar.
MashaAllah.
Who is very famous and the people are familiar with him.
Yes.
And then I got the ijazah from him. And then I asked his teacher, who is Sheikh Ayman Swaid, to give me another ijazah. And he did, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And now do you actually teach the Quran to other people?
Yes, I do, alhamdulillah.
Okay, and what else do you do? Are you the imam of any masjid in Saudi Arabia?
Yes, I am the imam of the Prince Sultan Mosque in Jeddah, and okay. As well as I teach in the public school. I teach Islamic studies.
Okay, and being an imam in for Salatul Taraweeh in Ramadan, do you lead all 20 rak'ah?
No, actually, no. I do only 8 rak'ahs in addition to the 3 of the witr.
Okay, mashallah. And what advice can you give to some of our aspiring huffaz in South Africa who want to do hifz and are finding it a little bit difficult? Because in South Africa, you find that you often have to combine it with your schooling like you yourself did. What advice can you give to them?
Well, the first important thing that we should look at as people tend to memorize the Quran is clarify the niyyah and purify it to make all the memorization towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to make it to anybody else. And then specify a certain time or make a schedule for yourself. And you stick to that schedule, and you do not change that much, unless it's an emergency. As well as it's not so important the quantity as much as the quality. The last thing that I would advise the memorizers is that to have 3 programs at the same time going along. First one is to memorize the new thing, to memorize a new page that they haven't memorized before. The second thing is to strengthen their memorization, what we call it tathbeet, to make what they memorize stronger and stronger. And the third program is reviewing the Quran. So these 3 programs should go along together. And I do not advise the people to take advantage of memorizing the Holy Quran and leaving the other 2 programs until they finish the Quran. That is not advisable.
What about tajweed, Sheikh Sahel? Because we find that this is something which is often sacrificed in favor of memorizing the Quran. I mean, people will memorize the entire Quran in a really short space of time without much attention to tajweed. Could you advise them as to how important the tajweed is in the field of memorizing the Quran?
Absolutely. Tajweed is necessary at the first stage of memorizing the Holy Quran, because once you learn how to recite well, how recite with tajweed and memorize with tajweed, that will make the time for you and the practice stronger and stronger by the time you go along. If you memorize without paying attention to the tajweed, you end up learning tajweed later on, and then you have difficulty applying what you have learned in tajweed to what you have memorized. So it's advisable to learn tajweed at the first stage, so the person would be able to apply what he has gained from knowledge and practice, since we know that the tajweed is mostly a practical thing rather than theoretical, you have to correct your pronunciation to all the letters of the Arabic alphabet, and that comes very easily by the time you learn the tajweed at the beginning.
Okay, Sheikh Sahil, we know you have to go now, but very quickly, can you tell our listeners, are there recordings of many of your recitations available to them, and where can they get these recordings from?
Well, I know that there are some cassettes, mostly the Holy Quran, the complete Quran, available in the market. I know for sure that Dar al-Balagh is a sponsor of one of those, and it has a website. They could get on, and also I believe www.islamweb.net also it offers some of the recitation of myself. May Allah accept our deeds.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for joining us today. May Allah accept your day of fasting and Ramadan Kareem to you and your family and everybody in Saudi Arabia, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time, and may Allah accept our deeds, and it's a great pleasure for me to speak to the Muslims in South Africa.
Ameen.
Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well,
that was Sheikh Sahil Yasin. For those of you who are interested in getting some recordings of his recitation, his name is spelled S-A-H. Oh, sorry, H, you say in South Africa. H comes from England. S-A-H-L. And his surname is Y-A-S-E-E-N. Okay, so if you do a Google search for him, he should come up, inshallah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then just go to www.islamway.com.net, N-E-T, and inshallah, you should find some of his recordings there. But if you're going for Hajj, then I'm told he's widely available in the markets in Makkah and Medina, mashallah. Okay, we're going to take a short ad break now. Don't go away, because remember, we still have that rather interesting interview with Ahmed Bukhatir coming up. For all those people who've called in and wrecked our receptionist brains, who is this man? Where can we get his CD from? Well, finally, for the first time ever in South Africa, you're going to listen to him singing live on air, inshallah. You tune to Tazkiya on Radio Al Ansar. My name is Fatima Asmal. Remember that you can still send those messages in on 031-208-4564, but only until 5:30 p.m., at which point we will no longer be taking those calls, inshallah. Well, before we commence with the inspirational portion of our program in the form of spiritual inspiration, we have some members of the Al Ansar Foundation in the studio with us, and they're going to be telling us about some of the other forms of inspiration on offer here at Al Ansar. Sister Asya Am, Sister Atiya, and Brother Salih Suleiman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum
salam. Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hands up, who's starting first?
Okay, I think it's important for us to remind our listeners about our Eid Milan that's taking place tomorrow. Alhamdulillah, we have worked very, very hard, if I may say so. We're not saying it with any pride.
Hint, hint, hint.
No, we're not saying it with any pride, but we have a very, very interesting lineup for our listeners. We actually have confirmed three different demonstrations with renowned chef Mehfooz Khan. We've got Alifa Spice. They're going to be showing us how to make a biryani and chili bites. Alifa Spice this afternoon confirmed that they will be giving away a Whirlpool tumble dryer tomorrow.
Okay.
So we encourage our listeners to come by, fill out a form, and inshallah, before the end of the day, we will do a draw. One of the conditions is that you have to be here while we're doing the draw.
Okay.
So one of you tomorrow, inshallah, will walk away with a Whirlpool tumble dryer. And I'm sure all of our sisters out there are looking for one. There's many of us that would like to have one of that at home.
Are you allowed to enter?
I don't know. I have Mr. Salih Suleiman here. I'm just going to check whether I can or can't.
Okay.
So it means after we finish off tomorrow, we'll be able to cook biryani. Is that correct?
Exactly. And
so
we hope
men and women.
Yes, we're hopeful that the men will join us as well so that they can partake in the preparation for the Eid biryani.
It shouldn't be that difficult.
So what time are all these demonstrations taking place?
Our cooking demos are going to start at 10:30 and finish at 12:30. We have our young Shehzadi, the presenter of our food fair program, and she has confirmed with her colleagues from her college where she's studying, they will also be doing some demonstrations for
us
as well.
Besides the demonstrations, what else is up on
offer
at the Eid Milan?
We have Baba Ansar will be here, and Auntie Nadia has confirmed, I think our listeners are aware, that Auntie Nadia has had a set of twins.
Boys or girls?
a boy and a girl.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
And she's actually going to sacrifice and leave her babies with her mummy so that she can come here and entertain our listeners with Baba Ansar.
Oh, Baba Ansar could look after the babies, I'm sure.
Well, I'm not sure whether she can trust him with that or not.
Okay. And what about the items that are going to be on sale? What sort of stalls do you have?
We have a variety of stalls. In fact, we have our staff very busy right now demarcating the areas and setting up the stalls so that, inshallah, when our stallholders come in tomorrow morning, they won't have a hassle. They'll be able to set up as quick as possible.
Okay, so you think if you haven't managed to buy an Eid outfit yet, tomorrow might be the right time and right place?
Definitely, without a doubt. We have a variety of stalls. And even for those mums that are like me, that don't have the time to go into the kitchen to make your mithais and your biscuits, all of that will be available right here at the Eid Milan.
Okay, Sister Atiyah, you're from the advertising department. What are you here to tell us about?
And making sure that their businesses reach certain areas of KZN. And basically, if there's people out there, or if there's a company out there that's still interested, it's not too late to advertise. And basically, advertising on Radio Al Ansar takes your business to different heights. Lots of people actually think that it's a one-month broadcast, but it's just not your one-month broadcast. You must remember that there's a lot of people tuned in at this time, a lot of people listening, a lot of people interested, a lot of people focused. And it does turn your business around dramatically.
Let me just add something there. Although the radio broadcast is just for 1 month, we find that our listeners call us throughout the year for companies' details.
Okay.
So it's not just for that 1 month only. Our receptions, we have all the companies' details, and we are giving those numbers on an ongoing basis.
Okay.
We've actually had... there was a call center. Well, I can't really give out company details, but there was somebody that called, and he actually said that because of advertising on Radio Al Ansar, he had over 800 people on his call center, and he was amazed at how the radio station took his business to new heights.
Okay, let me throw a free advert in for myself. I know I gave the bookshop 50 magazines, and they only have 3 left, and
yes,
that's also thanks to advertising.
Yes,
exactly. Mashallah. So I can be a testament to that as well. It really does work very effective.
Advertising on Al Ansar is fantastic.
90% of the Muslims in the greater Durban or the greater metro area, Itakweni municipality, listen to Radio Al Ansar, right up to, of course, the Peter Maritzburg area as well. We've got a 100-kilometer radius. So if you're looking at the listenership, it's 90% of the Muslim listeners or Muslim population of KZN listen to Radio Al Ansar. And as Atiyah said, the power of the radio cannot be underestimated. Lots of people think that they would, be spending, it's an expense, spending money on Radio Al Ansar's advertising is an expense. It's really not. It's an investment.
It's an investment.
It translates to value at the end of the day. So I think you can see Atiyah is well trained. She's a good salesperson. You can hear that on air.
Pay rise, Atiyah.
Excellent.
Pay rise, yes.
See, on one side, Asya has been telling us how hard she's working. And now we have another one here. But I think if you listen to the passion, I think that's important. If you listen to the passion that comes through both of them, you can see the type of people that we have driving the organization. That's why this organization is probably one of the more dynamic organizations in the province and probably the country. We never stop. We never stand still as such. There's always new projects, new activities. Just on the Eid Milan, I think I need to emphasize a couple of things. A is that people that come here tomorrow, please travel northwards on West Road. Don't travel southwards on West Road from Sheringham to Glenelg Road. So if you're coming, that means you're coming towards the from Sparks Road on West Road towards the center. That's traveling north. You'll be allowed to come through. But if you're traveling south, that means you're coming up the hill towards Sparks Road. I'd suggest you go down Sheringham Road because otherwise we have a major traffic jam. We've got ample parking. If you looked at the area that's been graded over the last couple of days, I think Brother Azim Bucks and company have done a wonderful job of grading the area. So we've got a lot of parking. So if one doesn't want a traffic jam, I think in the past we've had people that get irritable, but it's a problem if you insist on traveling south on West Road because it's going to cause a traffic jam. So if people are coming from Sparks Road, you'll come through West Road through towards Sheringham Road. But if you're coming up West Road towards Sparks Road, that means traveling south, you'll have to turn into Sheringham Road, then you can come up into Glenelg Road. So you don't get caught up in the traffic jam around the center. There's a lot of activity here, and we normally have a massive crowd here. And of course, when the traffic becomes, and the drivers insist on having their own way regarding the movement both ways, then it becomes a problem. So we urge all our brothers and sisters, please understand that there won't be parking at the center, and it'll be impossible to drive south on West Road from between Sheringham and Glenelg. We'd suggest you turn into Sheringham Road if you're coming traveling southwards. So that's critical and important, and we will have car guards taking care of the cars in the parking area. There's going to be lots and lots of stalls, and I think it's important that we sort of time ourselves during the day as well. I think we'll have to have sort of reports, traffic reports on the number of shoppers here, so you can actually guide people
as
so they don't all come together.
That's a very good idea, mashallah. Yeah, so that's an excellent idea. The other thing, Sister Asia, you know, being a presenter on Radio Al-Ansar, one thing I've realized, the listeners out there, they really, really take the radio station as being part of their homes and their family, and they're really, really enthusiastic. Will some of the presenters be there tomorrow for listeners
definitely.
To meet?
Most of our presenters will be here. We are not going to be having our normal program lineup like we do, but the presenters that are supposed to be here during that time slot will definitely be here, and I'm sure our public can meet them. We also have the Deputy Minister or Deputy Mayor Logi Naidu, and the Minister of Arts and Culture, Naren Singh, here as well tomorrow.
Okay.
So we have a very interesting lineup.
So I think the Logi is coming at about 12, is it?
1.
1 o'clock.
Logi Naidu will be at 1 o'clock and Naren Singh at 2:30.
Okay.
And the other important thing for tomorrow evening is a program lined up for the collections, the pledges and collections for the Al-Ansar Foundation. I think I'll encourage people to come here and have a look at this, at the infrastructure that's being built next door. I think for the first time, one will be able to see some type of superstructure. We've actually gone up to the first floor, I think it is.
Second floor.
We're going on to the second floor now. So I'd like people to have a look at it and look at where the money goes as far as when you pledge money or donate money to the Al-Ansar Foundation. You can actually see where it's invested. In other words, even if you come to the radio station and you have a look at the studios and you have a look at the hall there and the areas around here, and you look at the superstructure next door, that's where your money goes. It's a project for the community and is by the community.
Okay, and you're saying the pledge line is tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
What, on Nightline?
We start off at about just around
after Tazkiyah.
After Tazkiyah, it means after Iftar. And we'll go through, we'll break for Isha and Taraweeh. We have Taraweeh here.
Yes,
we'll have tomorrow
at the center as
and
well.
We have
yes.
Taraweeh here, so we'll break for Isha and Taraweeh. And we'll start off at about after Iftar and go right up to midnight tomorrow. So we urge all of you that are listening, please tell your friends and colleagues and relatives, pledge money and give money to the Al-Ansar Foundation because it's a project for you.
Yes, definitely. I know people can be really critical about spending money on those types of projects, but I tend to differ because I believe if you have a community center, it's serving the community, and this is the type of project that takes people away from all the other things which you're always singing about, the drugs and the nightclubs and the dating.
Especially for the youngsters, I think.
Yes.
Definitely. It'll actually be a very good It'll actually be very good for our youngsters.
No, and I believe you have plans for a women's gym as well. And there's another form of taking people away from a harmful environment and bringing them into an Islamic environment to do what they enjoy. So I tend to disagree with that criticism, and I encourage you all to participate in the pledge line tomorrow, because remember, a community center belongs to the community.
This is the key. Because, I mean, the Al-Ansar is a community organization, and everything here is the communities. Even the radio station is a community broadcaster as well. So we would urge people to participate. And, of course, we'd like to have ideas as well.
From the community. And I think also we've made it very accessible to everybody. We're not only targeting businessmen. If you give us a 25-rand donation, you actually get a certificate of recognition, which you can display, which you can keep at home. You can do that for Isale Sawab. You can actually, in fact, somebody came in yesterday, and instead of giving her family kids Eidi, she bought them one certificate Eid. There's an idea. You know, which you can use, and you can frame them up, and you know that instead of buying something that's not very useful, you've actually in your way donated towards a building project.
Okay, it's time for our market update with Brother Ziyad Muhammad of Al Baraka Bank. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, Brother Ziyad, do you have the market report for this afternoon?
The JSE was quiet in trade today, with all the sectors in the negative or in the red. The all-share index dropped 0.6% on the back of the top 20 resource stocks, losing almost 1%, and the gold mining index losing 0.1%. The gold price skimmed off a little, losing 0.5% to trade at a strong $470.35 an ounce, while platinum is currently at $939 a fine ounce. The price of gold bullion has moved quite dramatically for the last week, in fact. The Rand was weaker last at 6 Rand 72 to the US dollar, trading at 8 Rand 14 to the euro, and 11 Rand 95 to the British pound. The rand was at 1.81 rand to the Saudi rial. We take pleasure in announcing a brand new campaign from Al Baraka Bank Foreign Exchange. It's 0% commission of your foreign exchange purchase. The Zakat Nisab, 1,228 rand 12 cents, and the minimum Sadaqat al-Fitr is 8 rand 50. The Future Growth Al Baraka Equity Fund, the spiritual home of pure investments, closed the day at 7 rand 62 per unit. Sister Fatima, that's all from the markets this afternoon.
Jazakallah khairan, Brother Ziad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
That was Brother Ziad Mohammed with the market report brought to you by Al Baraka. Well, it's 5:06 now. We're going to take an ad break. Don't go away, because after that ad break, something you've really been waiting for, we're going to be crossing to the Emirates, inshallah, and talking to Ahmed Bukhatir and getting him to sing some songs for us, inshallah. You know, when I first came in for this Ramadan broadcast, I brought a gold CD in and I gave it to my engineer and I told him to treat it really, really well. It was basically an entire collection of Arabic an-nasheed and some English ones as well, which I downloaded off the internet. Probably illegal for me to do so. But anyway, that's what I did. And I said to the brother, don't play anything else during my programs. Please just play these an-nasheed, inshallah. And he did so. And I must tell you, the phone lines at Radio Al Ansar started going crazy. Everybody wanted to know, who is this brother? Where can we get a hold of the CD? What was the song that was playing on air just now? Well, I'm happy to tell you that we have that particular brother on air right now. His name is Ahmed Bukhatir. He's quite well known overseas, and inshallah, we hope that we're going to get him to be quite well known in South Africa. His songs are already well known, but people don't tend to associate a name to the songs. So I want to introduce you to the singer of some of those beautiful songs now. His name is Ahmed Bukhatir, and he lives in the United Arab Emirates. And mashallah, we are very honored for the first time ever on South African airwaves. Here he is, Brother Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, alhamdulillah. Whereabouts in the United Arab Emirates are you, by the way?
I'm in Sharjah right now.
Are you in Sharjah? And what time is it there right now?
It's around 7:10.
7:10
in the evening.
Okay, mashallah. Have you broken your fast yet?
Yes, 1 hour ago.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, Brother Ahmed, before we even get down to interviewing you, we'd like you to sing a song for us, inshallah. One of the songs that was made very popular on this particular program, because I must tell you that this particular program revolves around the Quran. We get a lot of people from overseas whom we call in, like Sheikh Abu Bakr Shatri, Sheikh Sahel Yasin, whom we have today, and we get them to recite Quran. And because of that, we've been playing a particular song of yours entitled Kitabullah a lot on this particular program. So inshallah, could you sing the song Kitabullah?
Yes, I can.
Inshallah, please go ahead.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا يدعو للعلم وللعمل لا شيء سواه يهذبنا هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا يدعو للعلم وللعمل لا شيء سواه يهذبنا كتاب الله لا شيء سوى يهذبنا كتاب الله يهذبنا.
Jazakallah khairan. Brother Ahmed, tell me, who writes the songs which you sing?
Well, this one is written by a poet called Nusra Arif Sheikh.
Okay.
But normally find some poet writers who I just sit with them and I tell them what exactly the scenario I want, what is the story which I am looking after, and then they would make for me a full fledged poem, and then I would sing it.
Okay, at what age did you start singing?
Professionally or unprofessionally?
No, unprofessionally. Was it a talent which someone discovered when you were really young and they used to ask you to sing for family members? Is that how it happened? How did you come to be a singer professionally?
Well, I started singing in 89.
Okay.
I was 14 years old. And it was, I always wanted to sing and I always wanted to try my voice. And alhamdulillah, after I graduated from college, I was almost 22. I joined the studio here in Sharjah, and I made the first, I was with some guys with me, and we did one album called Entasaf al-Layl. I sang two songs on that.
Okay.
And after that, I entered another album called Fartaghi, Al-Qudsu al-Madina. And in that one, I sang four songs. And then I saw that the people, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they were asking for me to sing more and more. So I just made one album for myself, which was Fartaghi, which has the Quran song in it.
Okay.
And then Fountain, which has the last breath. And now I've just released my latest album called Dani.
Okay, mashallah. Well, your song Al-Qudsu Tunadino, they've been playing it quite often here on Radio Al-Ansar as well, because they've been interviewing some of the imams from Masjid Al-Aqsa, and I know every time they do that, they do tend to play that song. What was the inspiration behind that song?
Well, in 2001, there was an intifada which started in Palestine, in the Al-Quds. So I believe that the Muslim has to help in any way he can. And I thought that since I'm in the United Arab Emirates and Intifada is in Palestine, only thing I can do is, you know, I cannot go there and help them. I can just sing for them. So I started singing the Al-Qudsu Tunadina to support them.
Okay.
To show them that I'm, you know, like Al-Quds is going to be for us, inshallah, to be open, inshallah. Like that.
Okay, mashallah. Tell me, do you go around the world singing at Islamic concerts as well?
Well, I just went to Kuwait once in February 2005, and I've been doing concerts in the UAE, around the UAE.
Okay.
And I haven't been before in Europe or America or somewhere like South Africa or somewhere far from UAE. But I'm scheduled to perform a concert in London in coming next month in December, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah. And tell me, a lot of your songs, well, most of them, in fact, have a very, very strong Islamic theme. Is this your forte? Do you tend to keep all your songs focusing around the Islamic theme? And can you tell us a little bit more about this? The importance of this in terms of getting our youth interested in Islam?
Yani, I was thinking all the time to talk about the Islamic themes as you mentioned, and maybe sometimes I would go out of the Islamic themes to the ethics, maybe to the normal human life that we are living in our homes. It depends on see how I choose my scenarios as I see what is the things happening at the moment in our lives. Like if you see, I've talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've also sang about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've also sang about many Islamic situations and topics, and like in my last album, I have sang about brotherhood.
Okay.
And I've sang about disabled people.
Okay, mashallah.
Because I feel that people don't know what's happening around them, so then you have to make them aware of it.
Okay, well, let's talk about one of your English songs now, Last Breath, okay? I know this particular song, I first heard it whilst I was studying a Tajweed course in Wales, and his sister showed it to me on her laptop, and it was in the form of a flash presentation. Very, very powerful, and at first I didn't know what it meant. And then the sister said, you know, this song, yeah, it's about a person who's passed away, and he's actually talking to the people who have just buried him. Now, I find that quite profound. What inspired you to sing a song like that, or to encourage somebody to write a song like that?
I found this poem. I found it on the internet, and I read it. It was very close to my heart, and I composed it, I made the tune for it, and I thought, actually, you know, since being an Arab guy, I mean, people didn't encourage me to sing in English.
Okay.
And I said to myself that I have to do something for our Muslim brothers who don't speak Arabic.
Yes, yes.
And some of my friends told me, why don't you try and why don't you give it a try? I said, okay. So I went on the internet, I found this poem. I tried to reach to the person who has wrote it. And I did. It was the Dr. Muhammad Sudan from Kuwait. And I made the composition for it, and I sang it. And it was like kind of a risk for me because I didn't know that would people like it, accept it or not.
Okay,
and then I sang it. Alhamdulillah, after the album was released, a lot of emails have come to me. A lot of people talked to me that they have loved the song so much. And in fact, there were some couple of people who also converted to Islam just listening to the song.
MashaAllah. Okay. What did they write to you and tell you this?
Yeah, actually there was a person from Bahrain.
Okay.
He wrote to me and he said that his English teacher has heard it and she has converted to Islam. And then there were some people in America also who has converted to Islam.
And then there was another person
who was Muslim. He's from Jordan, I guess. And he has married to a non-Muslim wife. His wife converted to Islam after she heard Last Breath.
Okay,
although she was not forced to do that, I mean, even if her husband was Muslim, she was not forced to convert to Islam, but she did because she felt that what Islam was talking about, and you know, that has ethics, it had the meaning of the life, so she converted.
So was Last Breath the first English song that you sang?
Yes.
Was it very difficult to sing a song in English? Because you speak English very fluently, mashallah. Where did you learn how to speak English?
I studied English when I was young in a private school in Sharjah.
Okay.
And at that time, it was very difficult to find a school which teaches all English. And I studied English for 6 years continuously. And then I had a lot of foreign friends, and that way I kept my English, you know, well. I also speak French.
Okay, mashallah.
Yeah, you know, and inshallah, I mean, I'm planning to release an album in English.
Okay.
And after that, I'm going to also, inshallah, put one or two songs in French just to see my French, if it's going to work or not.
Okay.
For our French people around the world.
Alhamdulillah. Well, please, can you sing Last Breath for us now, inshallah?
Well, I don't memorize it full, but I'm going to just give you some three,
excerpts.
Four lines from it.
Okay, that's fine, inshallah.
From those around, I hear a cry. Oh God, my eyes are blind.
JazakAllahu khairan. Tell us a little bit about your new album, Brother Ahmed.
My new album, actually, his name is Danny. It means let me go.
Okay.
And yeah, and Danny is a story about a person who doesn't want to walk on the path of Islam, and he's just fed up of Islam and fed up of people advising him. So he is actually like kind of maghroor, and you know, like he's showing off that he is happy, that he's playing around and he's going to the being with the woman and all the stuff.
Okay.
But what happens to him is that one point of time he falls in trouble, and something happens to him very big that he doesn't have any else to go to except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
So the advisors help him to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he advises the people all around him not to do what he did and to learn from his experience.
Okay,
which was kind of a song story.
Okay, would it be possible for you to sing a song from that album for us now?
Yeah, I can sing for you one song, one part of the song actually. It's called Ya Akhi. It's a brotherhood.
Okay.
And I want to also sing for you, maybe I'll sing for you another English song called Forgive Me.
Okay, but not such a short song. not such a short excerpt like Last Breath, a little bit longer, okay?
Okay, I hope, because I had to memorize them, you know?
Okay, inshallah. Start with Ya Akhi then.
Okay.
يا أخي ادنو مني لا تدعني يا أخي يا شقيق روحي مني يا أخي يا ضياء قلبي ودربي يا أخي يا أخي يا أخي.
This is the Akhi song.
What does that mean, what you've just sung?
I'm saying actually, like, my brother, oh my brother, come closer to me, don't leave me, my brother. Don't leave me, and don't leave me to the shaitan and to the other passes. I don't want to go there.
Okay, and you said
you are you are like close to my heart and to my soul, my brother. You are the path to the heaven and the light to the heaven, my brother. And then he goes, my brother, and then my brother. Like he's trying to persuade him to come and help him.
Okay, and you're going to sing an English song now, you said?
Yeah, there's a song about the disabled people.
Okay.
It's a very nice song, actually. It's that we human beings don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the gifts which He gave us, like the gift of seeing, gift of touching, gift of walking, gift of hearing. And we keep on, whining about where we don't have money, we're not happy, we are not beautiful, we are ugly, you know, we are not rich, and you know that way. So I've made this song to make people understand that the greatest gifts which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, we are not even considering them, not even thinking about them. Because imagine for 1 hour, if you're going to just sit in a dark room, you can't see anything, you'll feel so scared, you know. But imagine the blind people, they stay all their lives like that.
Okay.
And imagine you can't hear all the beautiful things around you. Same thing, the people who don't hear, they are suffering this way.
What is the song
called? I'll give you this one part of the song.
Okay.
It's called Forgive Me.
Okay, please go on.
Okay. Today upon Abasa, I saw a girl with golden hair, and wished I was as fair, when suddenly she rose to leave. I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she smiled. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, when I whine. I have two legs, the world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I know. Oh God, forgive me when I whine, when I whine. I've been blessed indeed, the world is mine.
Jazakallah khair. And you know, Brother Ahmed, whilst you're singing and you're talking to us, our lines are going crazy on the outside. I was going to ask you a little bit about the hijab song, because I must tell you that here in South Africa, we're running a hijab campaign on the radio station. We're trying to encourage more sisters to wear hijab. Could you tell us what inspired the hijab song?
The hijab song was a very, very nice song which I made, Falyakul al-Hijabi. It's actually, I made it because of a lot of women here. Some of them want to wear the hijab, but they are enforced by the people around them, their friends, not to wear it, you know, just to be normal and be away from it. And some of them don't want to wear it because they don't know what is the rule from Islam. So what I've done is that I've actually made a song telling the Muslim woman that don't worry, don't be upset, because this is the hijab. It's actually a savior for you from from the ma'asi and from the sins. And we are all with you. So alhamdulillah, a lot of women, they send me mails that they have worn the hijab after they heard the hijab song, and it actually helped them a lot to make, to decide for themselves.
Okay, well, a sister actually called and told us to tell you that you actually bring tears to her eyes with your singing. So we thought we'd relay that message to you. The hijab song, could you please do that, inshallah?
Yes, sure.
فليقولوا عن حجابي أنه يفني شبابي وليغالوا في عتابي إن للدين انتسابي الأورى بين أن أبالي همتي مثل الجبال أي معنى للجمال إن غدا سهل الملال حاولوا أن يخدعوني صحت فيهم أن دعوني سوف أبقى في حصوني لست أرضى بالمجون لن يلالوا من إبائي إنني رمز النقائي سرت والتقوى ضيائي خلف خير الأنبياء إن لي نفسا أبية إنها تبدنية إن دربي أخيا قدوتي في سمية فليقولوا عن حجابي لا وربي لن أبالي من هدى الدين اغترافي نبعنا أختاه صافي دربنا درب العفافي فاسلكي لا تخافي ديننا دين الفضيلة ليس يرضى بالرذيلة يا ابنة الدين الجليلة أنت للعليا سليلة باحتجابي باحتجامي أفرض اللان احترامي سوف أمضي للأمام لا أبالي بالملام فليقولوا عن حجابي لا وربي لن أبالي.
Thank you.
Jazakallah khairan, Brother Ahmed. Could you give us a brief summary of the song before we say goodbye to you, inshallah? What did that mean?
It's like the woman sister is saying that let them talk about my hijab, that it's going to corrupt my beauty, and it's going to corrupt my my loveliness, and let them exaggerate in arguing with me and in blaming me, because I don't care. I'm actually with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm actually with my religion. That is where I want. Because I will not care about what they say. My confidence, and my confidence is like biggest as the mountains. And what is the meaning of beauty if it was so easy to get?
Okay.
And then, you know, and then she says that they are trying to deceive me, but I have shouted at them and said that just leave me. I'm going to stay the way I am, and I'm not going to do what you're saying to me to go in the haram way. This hijab is a pure thing, and I'm happy with it. And this is taqwa, and this is the nur for me, because this is what Rasulullah has ordered us to do.